Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
In a certain mountain village in Europe several centuries ago, a nobleman wondered what legacy he should leave to his townspeople. At last, he decided to build them a church. No one saw the complete plans for the church until it was finished. When the people gathered, they marveled at its beauty and its completeness. Then someone asked, "But where are the lamps? How will it be lighted?" The nobleman pointed to some brackets in the walls. Then he gave to each family a lamp, which they were to bring with them each time they came to worship. "Each time you are here, the area where you are seated will be lighted," the nobleman said. "Each time you are not here, that area will be dark." This is to remind you that whenever you fail to come, we miss you. We miss your fellowship and your service, and some part of God's house will be dark. Every single person in the body of Christ is needed and important. Each is a vital part of God's church. Collectively, we are the body of Christ as a whole. Individually, we are members in particular. Each one is a key part of the whole, and your gifts and your service are needed for the church to be what God intends it to be. Without your part, that part of the church is dark. With your part, the church lights up. 1 Corinthians 12:27-28 reads, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." In verse 27, Paul speaks of the unity of the body. In verse 28, he reminds us of the diversity of the body, as the body has all different people with differing gifts. As a principle, one body with differing gifts carries down to this moment. But not all the gifts explained by Paul in verse 28 are in operation right now. Most of them were only for the establishment of the church at the beginning of this dispensation. Verse 28 reminds us of God's authority over the church when Paul writes, "God hath set some in the church," or "He gives the gifts and He places the members as He wills." By the words "first," "secondarily," "thirdly," and "after that," we see that the order Paul lays out the gifts in verse 28 are given in their order of importance for the early church. He begins by saying, "first, apostles; secondarily, prophets." Because of first and second importance, God gave the early church gifted ones in the offices of apostles and prophets. Now, these were apostles and prophets of grace. They were saved by the gospel of grace, members of the body of Christ, and people who served in light of God's program of grace for today. Apostles were sent ones, one sent on a mission, a divinely appointed representative. The apostles were those who were sent by God and carried and spread God's truth with God's authority, and they spread God's truth abroad and established local grace churches. Prophets were those who proclaimed God's word. They were spokesmen or mouthpieces of God. Prophets supernaturally spoke revelation from God by His Spirit and by God's authority without error. They communicated the mind and will of God accurately and precisely. It seems like the office of a prophet was more localized and concentrated on a local assembly, whereas apostles had a much broader ministry, not confined to any one area. Without God's word being completed at that time, the gifts of apostles and prophets were necessary at the beginning of the dispensation as God supernaturally revealed His will and His message of the mystery to the body of Christ through apostles and prophets. They had the responsibility of receiving and declaring the revelation of God's word. The apostles and prophets of grace received the revelation for the church by the Holy Spirit and made it known to others by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul says of the mystery that in other ages it was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Of apostle and the gift of prophet concerned the revelation of God's word. And that's why those two gifts are first and secondarily at the top of this list. What God has to say to us is always what is most important. It was vitally important for the founding of the body of Christ and the establishment of the dispensation of grace for God's word and his new revelation to be made known to the church by apostles and prophets, so the church knew how to live and how to function, so it had the doctrine that it needed for the church. Apostles and prophets were foundational gifts to assist in the establishment of the body of Christ. Ephesians 2:20 teaches how the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Once that foundation was laid, however, and the scriptures were completed, those gifts fulfilled their purpose and ceased. Someone has observed that the apostles and prophets were like delegates to a constitutional convention. When the convention is over, the positions cease. And it's been rightly said that if we're still laying the foundation of the church 2,000 years later, something's wrong. These gifts have stopped. And with this in mind, I believe to call any person an apostle or a prophet is not only wrong, it is dangerous. Today, no one demonstrates the signs and miracles of an apostle, and no person speaks the word of God by revelation. The word of God is complete. Based on their function, to call someone an apostle or a prophet is to insinuate that the word is not complete. So to be very clear, I am not a prophet. My parents were not prophets. And I even work for a non-profit organization. The gift of teachers is next and third on the list. This gift remains, I believe, because it is about expounding on and explaining God's revelation that has already been given in His completed word. In the past, this gift worked in tandem with apostles and prophets, as those with the gift of teaching grounded the converts won by the apostles and in the message of the mystery proclaimed by both the apostles and prophets. Teachers have the ability to communicate the revealed truth of God with knowledge, ease, and clarity. They are gifted in bringing the Word of God to life by expounding, interpreting, unfolding the meaning clearly so God's people may understand. And this is done by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the Word. Teachers are gifted by God and enabled by the Spirit to help others learn His revelation in His now completed Word. Miracles are a supernatural intrusion into the natural world and its laws, explainable only by divine intervention. These miracles were done by God's power and clearly revealed His authority over the natural world and its laws. But I find it interesting and fascinating that miracles comes after teaching. though less dazzling, less impressive, the teaching of the Word of God has more edification, more impact, longer lasting effects on a life than an extraordinary demonstration of God's power over the natural world through a miracle. The teaching of the Word of God and the receiving of that Word, resulting in a change in a person's heart and life by the Holy Spirit, is a true wonder and an amazing miracle. The gift of healing was something God gifted people to do in the early church. It was characterized by individuals being made completely whole. And notice healings is plural, showing that this gift took care of any kind of affliction that needed healing. In the beginning of this age, people were even healed through Paul's sweaty handkerchiefs and dirty aprons that he had touched or used when he worked in his tent making. There were two different purposes for healings in the Bible. Under prophecy, healing was a foretaste of the millennial kingdom and a sign of Israel's Messiah. Under this program, the mystery program, healing was a sign to Israel that God was setting her aside in unbelief. The final recorded healing by Paul took place on the island of Melita in Acts 28. There, Paul and those with him lodged with a man by the name of Publius. In Acts 28, 8 through 9 says that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. After this healing, there is no mention of any miraculous sign healing by the Apostle Paul. Instead, after this, in Paul's letters, we read of the sickness of three of Paul's faithful helpers. In 1 Timothy 5:23, Paul told Timothy, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake in thine often infirmities." In Rome, Epaphroditus ministered to and for the Apostle Paul. And Paul wrote the Philippian church, "For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." In 2 Timothy 4:20, Paul wrote that Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. You find that this gift of healing departed after Acts 28. Paul was utterly helpless to do anything for his sick friends except to prescribe a physical remedy and to pray for them. And that's exactly what we do to this moment too. The gift of healing has ceased under grace, but we know that God can, and God still does heal according to His perfect will. But it's done completely apart from the gift of healing and faith healers. God is still the great physician, and we should pray for others who are sick and suffering in this light. The example of Epaphroditus is a case in point. When he was sick and he was near death, Paul wrote, "But God had mercy on him."
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
1 Corinthians is a hardcover 336-page verse-by-verse commentary, written by Pastor Cornelius R. Stamm. The Corinthian believers were superficial in their perception of the truth and unbelievably permissive in their moral conduct. Also, as a congregation, they despised Paul's apostolic authority. Thus, the intent of this epistle was to correct the unruly conduct of these saints. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750. Or visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Next on the list, Paul wrote of the gifts of helps and governments. Like the gift of teaching, helps and governments are gifts that I believe are permanent gifts until the rapture of the church. During the great storm that Paul encountered on the ship bound for Rome, the sailors used helps, it says, undergirding the ship. These were heavy ropes, chains, or cables that were used to literally tie the vessel together, cinch it up tight, keep it seaworthy, and prevent it from going to pieces. By the Holy Spirit, we have the privilege to act in a similar way toward fellow members of the body of Christ who are struggling through the storms of life. We can rush to their side and undergird them and strengthen them by the Word of God, by prayer, by just being there for them to hold them together and to help keep them from going to pieces. Helps is a gift of selflessness, helping and supporting others by the love of Christ. The word means to take a burden off of someone and to put it on yourself. Governments literally refers to one who steers a ship through the rocks and shoals to harbor. Paul is referring to leaders and workers who carry out the administration of the local church. It is a supremely essential gift. In any church, there are those who shoulder the routine, day-to-day, behind-the-scenes administration of the local assembly. Their gift and service is needed for the church to move forward. They work with organization, efficiency, effectiveness, and faith. Next is diversities of tongues. And it is interesting on this list of gifts that tongues is last. According to verse 28, the most important gift was an apostle. The least important was tongues. The irony is that the gift that so many highly esteem today was considered by the Apostle Paul as the least valuable. While some will say that speaking in tongues is a sign of spirituality or mature faith, it actually has nothing to do with spirituality or faith at all. And the gift of tongues was never given to everyone. So it is not a requirement of a believer or a proof of salvation to show that one has the Holy Spirit. It was a miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit that God gave to only certain in the body of Christ according to His will during the days of the early church. And according to 1 Corinthians 13:8 through 10, as we'll see in our next episode, there was a point in time when the gift of tongues ceased and was withdrawn by God. Tongues was the supernatural gift to speak in the language of men of other tongues, as 1 Corinthians 14:21 puts it. It was a known language of the world, and the ability to speak in a foreign language never learned. They were never taught or trained how to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit miraculously enabled them. Often it is taught and believed that tongues are a heavenly language only understood by God. This is based on a couple verses here right around this passage. 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. In the Word of God, however, when it is recorded that an angel spoke, they always spoke in the language or the tongue of the person to whom they were ministering. We can be certain that angels are fluent in all languages. The tongues of angels doesn't refer to a heavenly language, but any known language with the eloquence of an angel. The other passage that is used to promote that tongues is a heavenly language is 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. The unknown tongue here isn't unknown because it was a heavenly communication with God himself that only he could understand, but rather that it was unknown tongue because the hearers had no knowledge of the foreign language that was being spoken. Paul is saying that only God could understand him, and no person could because no person present in the congregation knew that foreign tongue. The point Paul was trying to make is that he who spoke in a tongue without interpretation was not speaking for the benefit or edification of the church who couldn't understand him. And that's what he goes in the context to speak about and teach in chapter 14. In addition, the gift of tongues was for the spread of the gospel of grace to the nations. It greatly accelerated the spread of the gospel and the growth of the body of Christ, giving it a firm footing and foundation as the church began. 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 10 reads, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." Along with the gifts of verse 28, verses 8 through 10 speak of the additional gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, discerning of spirits, and interpretation of tongues. The gifts of wisdom and knowledge had to do with God's revelation of His Word and with receiving, understanding, and applying that divine knowledge properly and insightfully. They would do so by the Spirit. It was a divine endowment of wisdom and knowledge supernaturally imparted to the recipient. These were important gifts before they had a completed Bible or all of Paul's epistles in the truth for the body of Christ under grace. They couldn't, like we do, just pick up a Bible to learn God's ways and God's will, especially as the dispensation of grace was gradually being unfolded by a series of revelations. Therefore, the Spirit supernaturally imparted God's wisdom and knowledge of grace to members of the body who would articulate that word of wisdom and word of knowledge to others with persuasiveness and eloquence and power. At the beginning of the dispensation, God also gave the gift of faith by the Spirit. Now, this did not have to do with the gift of faith to save your soul. It was a supernatural gift given after one trusted the gospel of grace and was a member of the body of Christ. The gift of faith by the Spirit allowed one and moved one to demonstrate their unshakable confidence in God Almighty and to inspire others around them in the church to do the same. It gave one the boldness and courage to speak the truths of grace, to speak of the cross of Christ in the face of satanic opposition. By the Spirit, they also maintained a strong trust in God in the midst of difficult circumstances. To another, discerning of spirits, Paul wrote. This described the ability to detect by the Holy Spirit whether an apostle or prophet was truly speaking by the Holy Spirit or by Satan. There were false prophets in Paul's day, and God gave the early church people who could discern between the counterfeit imposters and the real thing. Finally, to another, the interpretation of tongues. The gift of interpretation gave the person the ability not to speak in tongues and foreign languages, but by the Spirit to understand tongues in any foreign language spoken by a person with the gift of tongues, and then be able to clearly explain and communicate to the church what was said by that person with the gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians 12:29 to 31 reads, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. All seven questions in verses 29 and 30 have the same answer. No. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. All the members of the body of Christ are not apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers. Not all can speak in tongues or interpret them. The point is, the body is not all called to the same thing, and we cannot all have the same gifts, as Paul has explained in this chapter when he wrote, "And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." The gift of tongues, like today, was being overemphasized by the Corinthians. They were all coveting this gift. Paul was trying to steer them away from that and taught them here that tongues is at the bottom of the list and that they should covet what was better and the best and be thankful if they had one of the best gifts. Aim higher is the idea. And yet, Paul says here, "Show I unto you a more excellent way." There is something even higher than this list of gifts that all should strive after and earnestly desire. So many are fascinated by the miraculous spiritual gifts. They make them the standard for spirituality and try to live by gifts that are no longer in operation today. But God has a higher and a more excellent way for each of us to live by, strive after, and carry out our service. This more excellent way is explained in chapter 13, and that way is faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
For nearly 80 years, the Berean Bible Society has endeavored to encourage believers everywhere to study God's Word. With this foundation, the believer is equipped to grow spiritually and energized to effectively share the gospel. Through the tools of both traditional and electronic media, we are positioned to reach our world well into the coming generations. Streaming lessons, printed materials, audio teachings, and daily devotionals are all available at the BereanBibleSociety.org.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.